What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. All right, what's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast, where we have a dais of Darth Saint, James, Ben, Ash, and Scott. There is no Jason. We kicked him off just before the show came because he was not drunk enough. But he's got to go drink a few, and then he may join us later. My video is not on right now because I have not gotten dressed yet today. I'll work on that during the show. In the meantime, all the picks are in, and we got ourselves a new quarterback afterward. So we're going to kind of talk a little bit about post-draft analysis, starting with the – all right, we talked about Ruiz, but let's do a quick recap of the Ruiz pick since we're sober now and we know how everything else played out. I think a lot of you may actually like the pick better than you did on Thursday night. So who wants to start?
I can. I like the pick on Thursday night. I continue to like the pick. I think it's something that we – you know, they had said it was a position that we needed to fill. Yeah, you know, not the sexy pick, but I think he'll come in and do a really good job. And, you know, kind of like we talked before, that he'll either be playing center or guard, depending on what they decide to do with McCoy. And then we'll see what happens with Horford, I guess. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I like the pick on Thursday night. It is a boring pick. Everybody wants flashy player, you know, wide receiver, talk a linebacker. But I think I made this point on Thursday night. I can't remember, but we've got a young offensive line, and potentially that's going to see us through at least the next 3-4 years with this offensive line, if they all stay healthy, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I love the pick Thursday night. I think the initial plan are probably going to play Ruiz at center and then move McCoy to right guard. That's what I've been hearing. So Warford, you trade him or cut him, it's an $8 million savings towards the salary cap. So, you know, obviously – that would be good. I think that money, you could go ahead and take it and put it towards extensions for Lattimore, Ramczyk, or Kamara. You know, I think it would go in that order. I think Lattimore and Ramczyk are 1A, 1B, with Kamara being, you know, option number two at that point. But, you know, like you were saying, man, the offensive line is solidified now for at least the next 2 or 3 years. You know, Armstead's the only one. I guess he's getting up there in age, and he's pretty deep into his current contract. But, you know, I could see something happening with him, whether it's a trade or him actually being cut in 2 years or so when his contract's up. But for right now, man, we're locked in for 2 years. You know, you got Ramczyk's, what, his fourth year. You got Pete still relatively young, just re-signed him. The center and the guard, obviously, they're still, you know, rookie and second-year guys. So that's – pretty damn good core, man. I mean, I think it was a great decision to go ahead and make that pick. Like you said, it's not the sexy pick, but it's the necessary pick. You know, if we play our cards right, whoever the next quarterback is going to have a badass offensive line to play behind.
Which is good because he's going to need it.
Even with the pick, people saying about cutting Warford or trading Warford, I'd actually keep him. You also remember we've got Nick Easton on the book still as well. But having depth of offensive line is so important, especially when we saw that's kind of the downfall of our team last year, is where we just completely dominated at the line of scrimmage by the Vikings in the playoff game. So I'm actually open to keeping Warford this season and just having strength in numbers.
You're not paying a backup guard $12 million though.
I'm not sure that Ruiz or McCoy will start at right guard straight away. Not without OTAs, and going to be training camp. You don't know what training camp's going to be like. This is such a weird season. They're not going to get the practices in that they would have done. So I can see value in keeping him, or at least just keeping him until potentially the trade deadline.
Is there any option to restructure Warford's contract?
Yeah, you could extend him for a year or two and just go ahead and lessen the cap hit. But does that really make sense from a long-term perspective? I think he makes a really good point in keeping him for this season, just because of the uncertainty with OTAs, training camp, all of that. I mean, hell, we don't even know if the season's going to start on time. It might make sense, you know, to have Warford this year, but I think past this year, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, someone, who are you going to get rid of? Someone's got to go to bench. So.
Yeah.
Like someone out of.
But with our, I mean, the Saints historically have to carry six offensive linemen, minimum starters, because Terron Armstead's going to go out. You're going to have to shuffle. I mean, it's a given that's happening. Warford now, will
one
start.
Thing that could happen is you could slide Pete over to the left tackle spot, and then something happens with Armstead, and then maybe the guards shuffle. I don't know.
When something happens.
Yeah.
Not if, but when.
Yeah.
I mean, I say it in jest, but it's the truth. I mean, Warford will start games this year.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, we're not talking about – in general, yes, he'll start for some team. For the Saints, I guess the smart play is to have him as the starter now. You know, I wouldn't be in a rush to trade him
on the depth chart.
Nothing, but you know, it's you don't draft this guy in the first round, and then have your first pick from last year. But one of those guys, they're not going to sit on the bench.
Yeah,
they're both going to be playing. And Peyton already said, you know, we didn't draft this guy to sit on the bench. And I can't imagine you pull McCoy and put him on a bench. I mean, the dude was one of the top-rated centers in the league last year as a rookie.
Well, Ruiz is versatile, right? So they're all versatile. That's the good thing. All right. Then the Saints go in the third round, right, and pick up Zach. Is it Bown?
Bown.
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 From Wisconsin. And there's your linebacker pick, value pick at that point, right?
Yeah,
I love the pick. I think it was brilliant. I was telling James yesterday in a conversation that we had that after they picked him in the third round and I was reading about him, he was first-round talent. And many people were surprised that he dropped down to the third round. For me, I've watched tape on him and you know I think they said he went like six straight games without even letting up the pressure. So, I've had a few fucking things. but he's quick to get at the quarterback. You know, he's great on the blitz, and I absolutely love the pick. I really do. I'm surprised he didn't go sooner.
This is another really intelligent guy. You know, he used to play quarterback. He knows the mind of a quarterback, and this is just, yeah, it's... I like the way that Peyton and Ireland and Loomis have kind of, they know their guides for their drafts and they will go out and go and get them. They're not afraid to make the trade to go and get them. So, I think it's an excellent pickup, especially after everyone was crying after the first round, not picking a linebacker to go and manage to get.
Yeah, shut up.
I was one of those.
Here's your first round linebacker, right?
Here's your first round linebacker in the third round. Have that, you know, yeah. So...
Yeah. Oh, hey, James King says hi. Ali Gibbs says Florida Lee football.
Two UK fans there.
There, all right. Nighttime, prime
time. Nighttime in UK.
So I read that the Bond is not the typical linebacker that you might expect the Saints to pick, that he's a little more athletic or lanky maybe or something. Actually, I think the word they used was like tweener or something, and I don't know what they meant by that, but I took it to mean that he's going to be like you're used to those short, stocky bowling ball types, muscle types, and he's going to be more athletic.
He was more of a defensive end pass rusher type in college in Wisconsin, so that's why they're saying tweener between defensive end and linebacker.
Okay,
he doesn't really have the size to be defensive end in the NFL,
so okay.
He's a linebacker. He's never down, you know, pass rusher, but he can play linebacker. He's got the athleticism. So on third down, I think you see him rushing the passer. But they were saying they're going to try him out at middle linebacker, the Mike position, which doesn't, to me, make the most sense on the surface. You know, Peyton talked about it in the interview. They said after the draft, they said division was try him out at Mike and then some at Sam. Because you got DeMario Davis is playing the weak side. And then Anzalone, if he stays healthy, is your middle. So you could have Bawn kind of doing the strong side middle linebacker hybrid position, which it's just weird. That's not his thing. But The only thing that worries me until the past couple of years with Mike Nolan coaching the linebackers, the Saints have a trash track record of picking linebackers under Peyton. Like, trash. The only, I think, if you look at it, Anzalone's probably the best draft pick we've had at linebacker in the 15 years
that
we've been here.
Yeah.
Sad thing is, the second best one is that Caden Ellis kid we picked last year that was on IR. Because the rest of them are absolutely –
who may still – or who you believe he still has potential, right? I mean
– yeah, definitely. But the track record of his coaching staff, minus the 2 or 3 years with Mike Nolan, is garbage when it comes to developing linebackers.
So hopefully it's Jeff Ireland coming on board now as well, who's our draft picks have just seemed to be accelerated in value since Jeff Ireland come in. So hopefully it's a Jeff Ireland pick instead of a Shep Payton linebacker pick.
Yeah, because look, I love the pick. I love Bond. Like, I was telling Scott, I was texting him. I said, dude, Bond's awesome. I would love to have him in the second round. We ended up getting him in the third round. I just hope that their vision for him, they're not trying to force a square peg into a round hole.
That's you right.
Play into his strengths. Don't try to force something that's...
He can come and play that role that
don't Klein put him in the middle. Year.
Let him rush the passer on third down and put him on the outside and just let him go. Don't overload him with these responsibilities he's never seen before. He doesn't have great size. I think I saw him listed on the website, the Saints website, on the official roster at 6'3", 225. That's not big, man. So, you know,
yeah.
I'd like to see him on the outside, rush the passer on third down. I don't love the idea of him in the middle, but, you know, let's see what they have in mind.
All right. Chris Coy says, look at that. Nice to have a Netflix break for some football chat. Yeah, good to provide. Glad we could provide it. We haven't signed with Netflix yet.
No. Not yet.
Hey, if they want to, you know, let us know. Call us. Tell us.
Just send them the stream recording from draft night. No.
Yeah, that'll get it. Oh, man.
That's going to be right up there with Tiger King. That's five episodes worth right there.
are you saying that Jason is Joe Exotic?
Yeah.
I really think it'll be interesting to see, not just with the Saints, but the effectiveness of any rookie this year with the way the offseason is going to be, where they're not having the OTAs and the offseason program, where, you know, they're not having that time to learn a playbook, learn the plays, getting coached, things like that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, but I think, was it draft night, somebody had said that maybe it's not going to be that big a deal, or was it Morstead who said on the other episode that we have a good core group of guys, he doesn't think that's going to hurt the team that much, that he believes in everybody's work ethic,
that's what he said. He said the fact that there probably isn't going to be that much of a churn on the roster, and the majority of the players that were there last year are going to be back this year with probably a handful of additions.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, more so with the rookies as far as picking up the playbook and stuff.
Well, I think that's why they went with that smaller rookie class. Because honestly, our roster is you're not going to get 5 to 7 guys that we draft that are going to make the team. You're only going to have 2 or 3 guys that make the team. With the guys we picked, you've got 3 that are absolutely going to make the team and play.
And when the other one's on a practice squad.
I would expect to see undrafted guys, anybody come in and make an impact this year. You know, with the OTAs not being what they normally are. Like this weekend, or probably next weekend, is when they would normally have, you know, the open tryouts where more people come in and you get a little rookie mini camp. Like, we don't have any of that. So, you know, that's another reason why you probably should keep, where you can make a case for keeping Warford for this season, because you're not going to really have the time for Ruiz to get the reps to beat out McCoy and have McCoy beat out Warford. So probably makes sense to maintain the offensive line the way it was last year.
I agree. All right. Next pick was tight end Adam Trautman. That's your boy from the small college, right?
Dayton. Yeah. And they moved back into the third to get him. From what I've read, he's more of a traditional kind of tight end. I don't know. I don't know too much about him.
Was he the one who played quarterback in high school?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he moved across to tight end. I think it was his freshman year, I think.
Yeah.
I think as soon as he got to Dayton, yeah. But he had apparently, you know, listen to interviews, he had chances to leave Dayton for his senior year to go to a bigger college, but he didn't want to. He was comfortable where he was. So, and that's paid off for him because, you know, he's been picked up by the Saints.
Right.
Yeah, I like the pick. I mean, we need another tight end. I'm getting tired of seeing Josh Hill getting meaningful reps.
All right.
He's going to be the third tight end, man. Like, I can't have him.
Yeah, was Josh Hill sweating, man? Is that what's happening? Josh Hill, playoff Josh Hill is sweating. James King says, I was planning on watching the Saints-Panthers and the Saints-Falcons tonight, rewatches, but this is a good draft chat, so I'll save the rewatch. Well, thanks, James. We're better than replays of Saints games.
Woohoo!
And then he said, virtually everyone played quarterback at high school. He's
right. Sure.
Okay, so you're saying that's not saying much. I'm thinking, you know, he's our next Taysom Hill until they pick Tommy Stevens from Mississippi State in a surprise move that nobody saw coming.
Yeah, I mean, Taysom Hill Jr., I guess. I imagine they're going to try to maybe develop him into the same type of role, maybe thinking – you know, kind of into the future, if Taysom does become the starter, they can have somebody else kind of fill that role. I'm sure he'll be maybe on the practice squad or whatever this year.
I told you, or maybe I didn't say it, but the Taysom Hill is now an official 12th position on the team. It's a, or maybe not 12th, but whatever, but it's an actual position I think Sean Payton fills now. So yeah, if Taysom, maybe this means that if Breeze does get hurt, that Taysom can start. Because now you have your Swiss Army knife in this other kid. If not this year, maybe next year in the future.
But I don't know. You're getting all these teams trying to find the next Taysom Hill.
Like, Philadelphia.
You have to realize Taysom Hill's a fucking unicorn. Like, this dude's, what, 6'2", about 230. He runs a 4'4", benches like 400 and whatever pounds. Like, these guys aren't.
You're talking about Bill Brasky.
Man, these guys don't grow on trees. I don't know why the hell people think there's a whole bunch of – it's like saying, well, we're going to find our next Drew Brees. It's like, no, you're not going to find your next Drew Brees.
Right. So, well, they're going to try, and that's the thing. They're trying to find the Taysom Hill because there's unique things that you cannot duplicate. You will imitate, but you cannot duplicate. First of all, you don't have Sean Payton as your quarterback to think of the way to use the guy, and you don't have the guy to execute the way Sean Payton thinks. So, okay, Phil, Doug Peterson over in Philadelphia said, we want to be a quarterback factory. That's what he said. So they're going to draft all these quarterbacks, and they're going to try to – he said himself, we're going to try to use this guy like Sean Payton uses Taysom Hill. Okay, you can try.
You spend a second-round pick doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's a copycat league. That's not anything groundbreaking. And I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to try to do this. And it'll work for some, but not to the extent that it worked for the original.
Right.
And even Sean Payton, like you said, okay, so Tommy Stevens comes in and Sean Payton in the future tries to use him the same way. He may not be as good at it because you're right. Taysom Hill is his own thing. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's not the only guy in the world who can do something like what he's doing, but you can't. No one can argue that anyone can do it better.
I would not get too excited about Tommy Stevens making any semblance of an impact that Taysom Hill has done in the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, let's be real. Tommy Stevens was at Penn State, was eh.
Goes to Tommy Stevens State. Is a better running back than he is a quarterback.
He's not a viable quarterback prospect at all. You know, and like, let's – I don't know if you guys
remember,
Taysom Hill at BYU was an animal, like was up for the Heisman Trophy. You know, he just kept getting hurt. Now, knock on wood, he hasn't gotten hurt in the NFL yet, but in college, I mean, this dude was one of the best players in the country, you know, running the ball, passing. He was a solid passer in college. This kid, Tommy Stevens, didn't do shit in college.
Right. Well, he ran well.
He ran well, but I mean –
But but go back to something Sean Payton said in an interview one time about Taysom Hill was, again, like, he's an athlete. Our goal, and this was Sean Payton at the time, whether it was last year or year before, he said, our goal is to get as many – is to come up with plays that put our best athletes on the field, regardless of what position they play. It's about getting as many athletes in one of those 11 spots. So if Tommy Stevens, he may be on the roster listed as a quarterback, but if he's a great runner, then Sean Payton's going to put him up behind Drew Brees next to with Taysom Hill as the tight end and Kamara over here and Murray over there and a wide receiver.
But who did you take off the field to put him on the field?
Well, I think you can line up Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and Kamara in the receiver slots. You put Murray, and Tommy Stevens as running back. I don't know. And then you put Taysom Hill at tight end. I mean,
you're playing Madden.
Keep going because I'm counting here.
I'm using three receivers, two running backs. Can I do two tight ends, or am I
running one tight end?
We're so assuming that Drew Brees isn't on the field.
We have too many weapons.
I'm not going to call Tommy Stevens a weapon yet. Like he's a water gun right now.
He's a spoon.
Listen, we are in the middle of the hyperbolic reaction segment. Okay.
So you all know who Jeff.
A seventh round reach.
You made a good.
We
point
all know so Jeff. Go on, Jeff.
Yeah, you made a good point before. Yeah, no. You made a good point before. You know, it's copycat league. The Saints have got a 2-year head start on everybody else.
Yes.
So everybody else is 2 years behind when you're trying to integrate this Swiss Army knife type of player that can do everything. So, you know, who's to say that Peyton hasn't already cooked up something else for Taysom Hill that nobody else has thought of yet?
Well, and not only that, but you're being 2 years ahead also puts you 2 years ahead of defending it. So he, knowing what to look for, knowing when teams might do something, he can help prepare the defense for that too.
If they can pull it off, which we've kind of talked about, like it's very hard to pull off what Taysom's pulling off.
Agreed.
Like nearly impossible. Right. He's kind of like one of those once in a generational type players, you know?
Yeah.
To ESPN's credit, the Fantasy Football League has finally designated him as a tight end / flex player. So he's not specifically a quarterback anymore. So,
how many people are going to try and take him?
Oh, hell yeah.
It says TH. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Taysom Hill? Like that is that should be an official position.
That's the
position.
What position
you play? I play the Taysom. How good would you be is if you got a player?
That'd be pretty sweet.
All right.
Think about how Mike feels about Mike linebacker. You know. Nothing. All right.
I laugh.
All right. There you go.
All right. Let's see. All right. Undrafted free agents.
Now this offensive lineman they got, this Calvin Throckmorton. I mean, it's supposed to be pretty much a stud, huh?
Yeah, he started like 40 games, and it was all across the offensive line. I think he's played like left tackle, right tackle, guard, and center. So,
and I think he only gave up one sack in like his last 45 games or something like that. So, I mean, that's a pretty impressive. Do what, Jeff?
Who are you talking about?
Calvin Throckmorton.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's a, you know, and kind of adding more depth to the O-line.
So, traded by McGee from LSU, too.
So, one guy I would like to make the team strictly for his name is Gus Cumberlander. I just think that's funny.
Defensive lineman.
Is McGee the one who pancaked the same player twice in one play?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by him. I mean, we know he can run block. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So who's this year's Emmanuel Butler?
I guess Callaway. Is that dude any good? Marquez Callaway from Tennessee?
Oh, the receiver. Probably
him or Juwan Johnson to Penn State. Or by way of Oregon, I guess now, kid, you know, they both, he's got real good size. He's like 6'4", 225, runs a good 40.
Which one are you talking about?
Juwan Johnson.
Okay. Yeah.
He was highly recruited coming out of high school. I saw him in a couple of games last year. I think his hands were the big issue. He doesn't consistently catch the ball, but the size, speed, strength, that's all there.
I mean, what I like about the large and undrafted free agent class is which one's going to be the one that emerges and becomes something, because one of them will.
I don't know, man. This year without the OTAs and all that, I can see the year we don't get anybody out of it.
I wonder if the league – can the league make more practice squad places available? Or is it – is that something they won't be able to – just because these guys aren't going to get a chance, really, because, like you said, there's not going to be any OTAs.
Well, but think about this, all right? If the season is delayed, let's say that Goodell's comment about starting in October – if that pushes it back a month, then in theory, could you not do just push back everything a month? So what would be happening this week can happen in May 30th or something, and then preseason starts a little later without a crowd, and then you play your games in October. So you might actually be able to compensate for some of that lost time.
Could be. I don't know, man. It's going to be tough.
Or, yeah. I mean, yeah, let me send you, let me, would you digitally send the playbook to a player if you're the team?
Hell no. I wouldn't.
No.
Hell no.
Would you mail it?
No.
No.
You'd drive to their house and just deliver it yourself.
Well, Sean Payton can. He's immune now. That was all part of the plan.
Well, that's what they were talking about with Tom Brady, because he went to Byron Leftwich's house to get the playbook and like talk to him. So they were trying to see if he violated any NFL policy, which they said he didn't. And he actually, I think, went into the wrong house initially.
I saw that. Yeah,
he went into somebody else's house, thought it was Leftwich's house, and just walked in, and the front door was unlocked, and he was in the wrong house.
So Tom Brady not only cheats at the NFL, he violates NFL policy, and now we add breaking and entering onto the list of charges.
Yeah, I think to the point earlier, it's going to be hard for all rookies this year. And I think that's why Peyton placed such a great emphasis on intelligence, you know, being one of the main traits that these guys displayed that they pick.
True,
you know, say that about all three of the picks. Like Ruiz, I mean, his number one positive that I've read about is his intelligence more than anything else. He makes all the calls on the line. You know, he's a plug-and-play guy. Troutman and Bond, by all accounts, are smart as well. You got a smaller class. So
right. The
Saints, I think, are better equipped to handle this abbreviated offseason. You know, and I think they'll be – it's a veteran team. You know, I don't think you're going to see any undrafted free agent make the team this year. I think it'll be easier to sneak them to the practice squad this year.
I mean, even on a regular year, it would be a little harder this year because you're bringing back so many players and they're all good. I mean, you think about this Saints team can win Super Bowls if the refs got out of their way.
Should win Super Bowls.
Yeah. All right, so I brought up the whole October thing. What do y'all think of that plan? I mean, would you be okay from a fan perspective and then from a player perspective of starting in October, no bye weeks? And does that include the bye week between the championship games?
I'm okay with any scenario that gets us Saints football in the fall. I don't give a shit if it's
– fair health be damned. December.
You know, as long as we get football in the fall at some point, whether it's September, October, November, December, I'm fine.
I don't want behind closed doors, though. I don't want behind closed doors.
You want the crowd there?
I mean, push them to shove, and it's you know, watch them with no crowd or don't watch them at all.
Yeah.
Well, because if I'm Fox and I'm airing the game, I'm calling Arthur Blank for the tape, so that I can pump the crowd noise through the audio channel, so that it's, you know, if the viewer doesn't have to know there's no crowd there, I can keep it tight on the game. I can, you know, when there's a touchdown, I can throttle up the volume.
Yeah.
I mean, sitcoms do it. I've been doing it since the 70s, 60s.
Hearing the old play calls and stuff like that, and hearing the actual adjustments on the line and stuff. So, you know, that crowd noise, yeah, it'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, just pipe it in.
Yeah, and then figure something out. We'll have football in the fall.
I'm all for eliminating the bye week between the championship week and the Super Bowl as a fan, because I don't like waiting. I get why you need to do it, and if the Saints are in it, I kind of want the bye week to rest up.
Yeah.
But I love eliminating the bye week during the regular season because I have nothing I hate more than a week of not watching the Saints play. Yeah.
One thing I can guarantee is there will probably be no London games this year. But I'm fine with it.
Oh, yeah. That won't happen this year.
Yeah, I think they were supposed to do one in Mexico, too, this year.
Yeah, it was four in London and one in Mexico.
So you don't see that happening? They played a Mexico game last year, though, didn't they? This wouldn't be the first year.
They played a couple of years now, three or four years.
I don't know if they played it in Mexico last year. I want to say it got moved for some reason.
No, it was a year before it got moved. It was supposed to be the Chiefs-Rams the year before.
Okay.
It got moved because the pitch was in such a terrible condition, so they got moved back up to LA.
Oh, okay. Wasn't there a year the Saints played the Eagles in Tokyo or something?
That was in the preseason. Shit, man, 92, I think.
Yeah,
the same year, Lorenzo Neal and Derek Brown's rookie year.
Okay, I think it was 92 or 93.
Yeah, 93. The Saints came to London and played the Raiders in their preseason game.
Oh, yeah. So that was another thing Morstead mentioned about, you know, the Saints will be going to London at some point because that's trade-off for hosting the Super Bowl, is that you give up a home game.
That seems to be the new thing now with the NFL.
Yeah.
Classic NFL.
Yeah, they need teams to come over. Obviously no one's to give a home game up. I can completely understand that. And, you know, if you want a Super Bowl, you've got to kind of –
That's a trade I'm willing to make. Yeah. As a non-season ticket holder, I'm willing to make that trade.
Yeah. Off-season ticket holders, how they feel about that. Right. Slightly different.
Yeah. Now, another concern about playing from October till February 28th is now our playoffs, if we had to travel.
Playoffs?
If we had to travel, say, to Green Bay or something, now you're going to Green Bay, like, late January, early February, when it's even colder winter and more frozen tundra.
What do you mean, in 2 weeks than you would before?
Yeah.
We won't be going to Green Bay.
We won't be going to Green Bay
because Aaron Rodgers is still throwing his toys at the cop because they drafted Jordan Love. We ain't going to Green Bay.
That's right.
Don't worry about Green Bay this year. They're not doing shit.
All right. So then we're not going anywhere except San Francisco.
Next off season, something madder than coronavirus will happen. The Saints will trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So your early reactions now that you know what everybody's done in the draft, who are your picks for to be threats in the NFC?
I think it's gonna be basically the same. I don't know that the draft, you can necessarily say at this point, I hate those who won or who lost the draft or shit like that. Well, you're basically saying that.
I'm not. I'm asking based on what they did in the draft. Some people helped their case. Some people didn't.
But you don't know how these players are going to turn out. Right. I mean, the Raiders thought they struck gold when they drafted Jamarcus Russell. Look how that turned out.
There are two best teams in the NFC in some order are the Saints and the 49ers.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The Packers are not at all.
The Saints are going back to the playoffs. Easy.
Yeah. 49ers.
We're stronger than what we were last season because obviously we touched on it earlier on that we've got more weapons. We've got more weapons to basically cause, you know, defensive coordinators issues.
I think Dallas could be quite good this year.
I think
the Eagles have got potential still. But the team that's going to be up and coming is going to be sneaky good, I think, will be the Cardinals.
I could see that.
Getting Isaiah Simmons in there. You've got to remember, they've got DeAndre Hopkins now as well.
Don't discount the Panthers. I mean, look within our own division.
No.
McCaffrey goes down. The Carolina Panthers are better.
Bigger threat.
So the Bucs will be the second place team in the NFC South.
Yeah. The Falcons are still trash in the defensive backfield. They're not stopping any of the other teams.
That was a weird pick, wasn't it, from the Falcons?
They reached for Terrell. They reached.
The Buccaneers look very imposing on paper.
Yeah. So at least he's used to be made look like an idiot on the Superdome field, so there'll be nothing new for him when he comes with the Falcons. After what Justin Jefferson did to him in the championship game.
All right. Yeah. All right. What do you think of the AFC? Is Cincinnati the new favorite?
Chiefs.
No.
Chiefs and the Ravens.
Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yeah.
Hands down, best two teams.
Is it not a bit scary that they've given Mahomes a running back like Clyde Edwards-Hilaire?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yes.
That very is scary. Very, very scary. He's a great passer.
LR versus Queen in the AFC Championship, huh?
No offense to Queen, he's going to get raped in that matchup.
Who will?
Queen will get raped in that matchup. Okay. Not even close.
The thing is, though, the Ravens always draft really well defensively, so Queen's literally gone into like the perfect scenario there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Baltimore has always had this defensive mindset, and they've always had anchor players. And
as long as he doesn't murder someone, we'll be all right.
I think that, well, if you murder someone,
I think you have to murder someone to be good. Yeah, I think that's true. As long as it's not his girlfriend. Stay away from her. The gymnast from LSU. Come on, Jeff.
Hey, Clyde murdered somebody. Don't know that story, right?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Clyde did murder somebody. You don't remember that, where he shot the guy?
He's trying to sell him a PlayStation, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Where'd Michael Divinity end up? Is he still undrafted?
He was picked up by somebody.
I think the Vikings, maybe. Could be wrong.
I'm surprised Moss went undrafted as well.
Yeah.
They were saying the injuries. So he had surgery after the season. And with the virus and all that, you know, the teams couldn't check him out to get an update. So they're saying that's why he fell out of the draft.
And I think that's why Bond kind of dropped to us, too, because he had that diluted sample at the combine.
Yeah.
Divinity went to Tampa Bay, by the way.
Did he?
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Tampa Bay.
I mean, LSU Tiger, wish him all the best. But, the issues he had while playing here, I don't think those demons are gone. I think he's going to fight that for a while.
I mean, I wouldn't
be Divinity.
Yeah. When he gets out of
that
money.
Guy that bounces around off rosters, I don't think he's going to make a team this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and his lifestyle may get in the way, too, of success. So, Emmanuel Sanders, when we go to the Super Bowl and win, he will be the first player ever to go to 4 Super Bowls with 4 different teams. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep.
Pretty good. All right.
They said, too, that Moss will have played with – Thaddeus Moss will have played with – Adrian Peterson would have played with Randy Moss Thaddeus Moss.
Wait, Adrian Peterson?
Peterson. Randy,
that's pretty cool.
Jeff, you're not going to talk about Jameis?
Oh, yeah. I mentioned him, and that there, ergo, I thought we talked about him. So, all right, everybody. The crawfish legs are out. What do you think? I mean, we talked about this on an earlier episode, and we were very against the idea. Then we started to soften up to the idea that's like, yeah, you know what, maybe. Now that it's a real thing, what does it say?
I mean, for –
if Drew Brees goes down, Jameis comes in.
That's the theory, yes. And right. I mean, for the price that we
retires, does Jameis?
He'll compete with Taysom, I would assume.
I'm going to go on record. I absolutely.
Hey, Linus, we're talking about that right now.
I absolutely love the signing. I've been talking about it for about 3 or 4 months, man. Jameis, I love. Like you can ask Scott, was a big Florida State fan growing up. Actually, there you go. I can break out this shirt. From when Jameis was in college. I can finally break it out again. 5 years
ago. Did that say whiteness or witness?
Witness. Okay. The E-I-S spelling.
But, what the Uber driver needed.
Dude, I love Jameis in college. I think he's an incredible prospect. They were talking about he got the LASIK surgery. You know, he's 26 now, and they were saying you're supposed to wait until around 25 to get the LASIK surgery because your eyes can still develop. But, you know, I think that's going to make all the difference in the world, getting him into the same quarterback room as Drew Brees and having Sean Payton coach him up. You know, Jameis said in his interview yesterday, it's like going to the Harvard of quarterback, you know, teaching. So I think the amount of money we're paying him, it's pennies on the dollar. I mean, Jesus, the guy's making $1 million, which for a quarterback who threw for 5,000 yards last year and 30 touchdowns, that's 26 years old. Yeah. That's value at its absolute finest. I love Taysom as a player. I do not think you can just hand Taysom the starting job when Breeze leaves. I mean, the guy's thrown, what, 12 passes in the NFL? You know, he wasn't the most polished passer in college. I think if Jameis absorbs the playbook and comes in and really picks up the coaching and his eyes are fixed, you have a legit competition between the two. Taysom has no chance. No chance. Now, again, that's assuming
Jameis's brain capable of succeeding.
He was the first pick in the draft, and everybody that's ever coached or played with him goes on record saying the guy is football smart. Does he have common sense when he was younger? Obviously not. Now, you can ask Scott, the shit Jameis was doing at like 18, 19, 20, 21 with crab legs and all that. Dude, me and him would have done the same shit at in college. I mean,
I think we might have.
Exactly.
Right, but I think, all right, so.
Actually, let me say this first, though. Another, someone brought up a point the other day, and it was saying that the whole crab leg thing. So there was a guy, a couple students from Florida State at the time came out and said, look, you know, we worked in some of these stores. No Florida State player paid for anything, ever. You know, there's speculation that boosters whatnot would go, okay, we got stuff.
And he had to act like he stole it to protect the bigger problem, yeah.
So they're saying that had he gone and said, you know, look, I was just picking up what was promised to me, Florida State's going on probation immediately. He so took at that point, you know, shoplifting didn't do shit. He was still the first pick in the draft.
Right. He took one for the team.
Right. Like, if you watch that footage, that's not shop. I mean, when you walk in and you're kind of strolling out holding crab legs, you're not hiding anything. I mean, that's pretty brazen. Sure.
Okay. And I'll give you that. That's believable. And when I read that, I believed it. Okay. What I can't get over is that pregame speech against the Saints. Eat the W, just somebody who's like, that's his way of pumping the team up. I don't know. Something ain't right with that.
Dude, you know, how many of his other pregame speeches have you seen?
None, but that's, I don't need to.
Oh, no, you kind of do, because if you look at some of the other ones, that one's cringeworthy at best. That one. I mean, it's fucking awful. We all made fun of it. We all got on Twitter and ripped it to shreds. But, you know, when you hear from his teammates, man, they all swear by the guy. Swear by him. Like, even Cam Jordan just tweeted about, you know, how excited he is to have him here.
Do you expect any of the Saints players who have integrity and who have the professionalism that they have to say, I don't like this signing?
I love Cam Jordan, but you're talking about the ultimate trash talker, like him sending bottles of, you know, Jordan Cab to Cam Newton. And all this other stuff and the broom and everything.
But now Jameis is one of us. He's not going to say anything bad about him.
Again, but he doesn't have to come out and say something good about him. My point is, the guy's coming in, and like, we should all be embracing the fact that he's making $1 million and took that proverbial one step back to possibly take two steps forward. Because if we're counting on Taysom.
I get that. I just hope that he's not a liability more than he's. And I'm not talking about the stealing of the crab eggs. I'm just talking about the general I want to believe that he's professional, that he can fit in with the mentality of the guys that are here, and that he's not eat a W. I don't want eat a W, Jameis. I want the professional, motivated, committed, and intelligent Jameis. And proof is going to be in what we get over the next year.
I think the fact he's taken such a small deal with us shows.
That's what I was about to say. That shows a level of maturity that he didn't play the cash. He could have gone to Pittsburgh and learned how to rape people, but you know, he decided he decided to come to the Saints and learn and take that, you know, that small salary and just learn from the best. I mean, in hopes that he can be the starter either here or somewhere else.
All right, so why did he throw 30 picks?
Jeff?
I mean, honestly, do you believe that's a bit hard?
Have you seen the stats, though, of the stats flying around about Bruce Arians' first season with his new quarterback? I think Andy Luck.
Turnovers?
Yeah, all Andrew Luck had 30
turnovers.
So
it's more on Arians than it is him.
It's a system that's predicated on throwing down the field, and it takes a lot of chances.
And you got dodgy eyes.
Quarterbacks in the first year in that system have always struggled. Carson Palmer, Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston all had 40 turnover-worthy plays in their first year in that offense. And honestly, I don't think Arians had any intention of re-signing the guy this year. So, I mean, he's just like, whatever, go out there, sling it around. I'm going to get my guy next year.
He had a free pass, Arians, last year, didn't he, essentially?
Ha-ha! Pun intended.
And plus, you got to think, too, Tampa is probably playing from behind some of those games, so they're going to have to start throwing the ball much more.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. The game I saw him play in London last, they saw the Panthers-Bucks in London last year.
So, wait a
I've
minute.
Never seen such a bad quarterback performance.
So if quarterbacks historically have such a bad year under Bruce Arians' system, and this is Tom Brady's first year under Bruce Arians' system, by the law of transitive properties, Tampa will not be the number two team in the NFC South this year because Tom Brady will lead the league in interceptions.
But the other thing to look at is Brady doesn't have the arm anymore to push it down the Bruce Arians' system. So Arians,
they're going to make
gonna have to meet him halfway and tweak the system.
And you've got to realize as well.
Can Arians do that? I mean, or is he a stubborn coach?
We'll find out.
Yeah. Arians doesn't play with tight ends, but he's just gone and signed Gronk. You know?
Right, exactly. They don't see Arians doesn't use a tight end. Right, so you just signed Gronk. Like he's gonna tweak the system for Brady.
And they've got Cameron Bray and currently OJ Howard still on the roster. So there's three good tight ends on the roster there. So he's gonna change the system this year. But yeah.
And let's hope that, you know, Gronk being out of football for a year means that he's not going to be the same Gronk he was.
Yeah.
That he's going to be Jimmy Graham'd.
So back to Winston, right? So how much did we pay Teddy Bridgewater last year? Is it $8 million?
$8 million.
Is Teddy Bridgewater $7 million a year better than Jameis Winston?
No.
Fuck
no. I would.
Is Teddy Bridgewater better than Jameis Winston?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Bridgewater's a game manager. He's not going to make the big mistake. He's going to make the safe, you know, the safe passes. But, dude, how many games did we watch last year? I think it was, I don't remember, maybe the Jaguars game. He overthrew a 5-yard swing pass to the running back in the end zone by 5 yards. You know, yep. I know we all love Teddy. We love his dancing. We love the fact that he rode his bicycle to the games. He was not a game-winning quarterback. Like the defense played out of their mind when Teddy was starting, out of their minds, you know. Yeah. And it's like the second Drew got back, they're like, "Oh man, Drew's here, we're good." You know, it seems like they took their foot off the gas. I like Teddy. I think Teddy's a good quarterback. I think he's a top.
He's a good guy.
He's a great guy. I think he's a top 15 to 18 quarterback. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He's not going to be a top 10 quarterback.
And Jameis could be. With Sean Payton.
If you put it all together, you're looking at a possible top 10, top 5 quarterback if he puts it all together.
And then, you know, just like when we got Drew, I mean, he could – if he picks up the system and plays and adjusts like we hope he does, I mean, he could play for another 10 years here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, easy.
I just hope he right. My concerns, which will be addressed, will be resolved, answered by November, hopefully, is he smart enough to understand all the offense with that? When if he's got that work ethic, then he could be and he can be taught. We need the level of intellect, the football knowledge, the ability to diagnose a play in 3 seconds before it happens, and. Because he's got the athletic skill. So we need to know about the brain. And then, yeah, the personality, which, you know, Max, I think you made enough of a case there that I'm willing to, you know, for $1 million, I'll take that chance with you in my locker room. With all of the positives that you bring to the table, they do outweigh the negatives. So, and more than likely, he doesn't touch the field this year.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Right.
Just like we hoped Teddy wouldn't last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the thing to look at, like, look at – so Jameis has started for the last 5 years, right? Threw for 5,000 yards last year, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. But if you look at his first couple of years and you compare it to Drew's first couple of years, it's neck and neck, and when Jameis actually outperforms him in several categories.
Okay.
It's a bit like Peyton Manning as well. He was a bit of a turnover machine when he first entered the league.
Exactly. So the key we got to look at is the amount of reps that Jameis has as a starting NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
It would take Taysom Hill 5 years to get that.
Yeah.
Real, Taysom missed a lot of time in college due to injury, so he just doesn't have the reps. You know, you always hear draft guys talking about how it's important for a quarterback. You know, a lot of them like him to be a senior or a redshirt senior because they've got 4 or 5 years of experience starting or in a system. Taysom has none of that. And I'm telling you, if Jameis can pick up the system, he'll beat him out.
Well, and keep in mind now, like, you know, what Jameis didn't have in those 5 years is Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, and Drew Brees.
Or an offensive line.
The
offensive line in Tampa last year was bad.
Or Michael Thomas, right? I mean, he had Mike Evans, but
they had three receivers in Tampa.
Has he had three head coaches as well? He said three head coaches in his time in Tampa.
Yeah. And how many offensive coordinators?
Exactly.
So it's not all his fault.
It's not. I mean, look at Nick Underhill has a really good article detailing all of his 30 interceptions.
Classic Nick Underhill. Good article.
It's a really good article. It breaks down each interception. You know, it can kind of roughly assign blame as to who.
Yeah.
Read that yesterday.
A lot of them fault. But then there's a bunch of them where, you know, the offensive line let him down a lot. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at Drew Brees with, you know, all – if. Whatever interceptions he throws, you can really only blame like two or three of them on him. Everything else is either like there's a tipped pass or there is an offensive line or there's so many things that lead to that kind of stuff. And then you add in the revolving door at the coaching level and you don't know what kind of dysfunction. I mean, Tampa is not a well-run organization, period.
Right.
I mean, so, okay. You know what? I would love more than anything for Jameis Winston to be the heir apparent to, you know, assuming that all my concerns are alleviated. And then, like you said, 10 more years of top notch quarterbacking.
I look at the Glazers don't run a good sports team, no matter who they are.
Blazers.
The Glazers family.
Let's not talk about them. they own the football club.
How often do you get an opportunity to get a former first pick overall in a draft that's 26 years old and has started for 5 years? How often do you get to get someone in that scenario for $1 million and he just got LASIK surgery?
Well, it's better that he comes to the Saints. If he is colorblind, as some might suspect, at least now it's like, black or white. That even colorblind people can tell the difference between black and white. You know, it's when you got red and blue, they both might look the same kind of color, or green. You know, no, I got dark and I got light. Okay, I know which one to throw to.
So I think Jameis, it's definitely wise. The white shirt. Yeah, we've definitely got to wear the color rush if Jameis Winston is starting at quarterback.
No, I'm kind of in that boat where I would prefer my next quarterback, right, to be somebody who has a few years with another team. I'm not a big fan of the draft somebody and cross your fingers approach. I like, give me the proven. Unless it's Joe Burrow. Yeah. But give me the proven thing because you've seen him play, you know he can do it. And then with our coaching staff, as long as Sean Payton's here, that he can bring a good guy to become great. So future might look bright. Any final thoughts you got before we close it out? James?
No, I just, obviously, we've been in a bit of a dead period before the draft because of what's going on. We now go into a really dead period in the NFL where literally nothing happens now until should be July.
Survivor week!
So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be much Saints news and things like that. But, you know, we've just got to hope. For me now, it's just hoping that everything is sorted and the season starts in September.
Okay.
Bring it on.
All right, Ben.
Love what the Saints have done this offseason. It just shows how knowledgeable and smart they are running, you know, Benson and all that lot, running the organization is. The draft was fantastic. The one I'm looking forward most to see is the tight end Troutman. I think you know, Ireland came on today saying he's going to be a contributor this year. So that says what they believe in him. And yeah, it's going to be exciting if it fin- when it finally does get going ahead. But no, excited and good job on the front office.
All right, Scott.
You know, kind of just echoing with kind of both of James and Ben said, you know, we're going to kind of, it's good to finally get some Saints news with the draft. Now we're going to kind of enter a period where we're going to be waiting a little while, but I definitely think they did some smart things in the draft. I think probably the smartest thing we kind of touched on was only drafting, you know, four players, you know, because you don't need all those picks when you know they're not going to make the team, especially with a shortened off-season program. So I think just that realizing and recognizing that was extremely intelligent. And I'm surprised more teams didn't pick up on that, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
just hoping the season starts on time. If it comes late, it comes late, but man, it'd be nice to have some football at the, you know, at the end of August for some preseason games or something.
We're not going to know what to do with ourselves.
Right? I know. Right. So
Ash, who that? What you got?
I'm loving the fact that we signed Winston as the backup. That means that we can keep Taysom Hill being Swiss Army knife. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Zach Bourne does come the season. I know that he's picked 51, so the likes of Sam Mills and John Vilma's number, he's going to, you know, big shoes to fill for that number. So I'm looking forward to seeing Zach Bourne, you know, learning and basically kicking ass.
Have to get Manti Te'o's number.
Oh, Manti Te'o's, yeah. Sorry, I'm like an eight. I've been drinking Corona since 4 o'clock this morning. It's 4 o'clock this afternoon, so I'm about an eight.
Corona time. All right, Max, final thoughts.
I'd love the draft. Really love the Winston signing. I mean, I think either way, we're going to have a Winston Taysom Hill competition next offseason, which, you know, whoever it ends up being, or if it's somebody else, it's a good thing as long as they can perform. I think to expect anyone to do what Drew Brees has done in the past 15 years is completely unrealistic. So it's going to look very different under the next quarterback. I do think that as long as Sean Payton's here, you know, we'll have a very good chance to be good offensively. So I'm just excited to see what happens, man. I just hope the season can start as soon as possible. You know, these guys all made good points, and I just would echo everything they said.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast, Dome Patrol United, Dome Patrol US, Dome Patrol UK. I see Cal Gordon on the live stream says he's excited. And Jason says, still on my conference call, so he will not be able to join this one. All right, don't forget, everybody, you can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. You can like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube to watch live broadcasts, or you can just press play, shrink your window, and listen just like you would a podcast. Or you can actually download on any of your podcast apps. And, of course, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, EW donkeys.
Who dat?
Good night, who dat?
Mississippi Queen. Down to Mississippi, down to New Orleans.
I said, hey, 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 yeah.
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 Come on, take a stroll down the busy street. Listen at the music with the Dixieland beat.
Well, the magnolia blossoms fill the air. Well, why you ain't been to heaven till you been down there?
Sick of tanks, bus hanging from a big old tree. Get out of here, Jimmy Vontae.
Trip with me. Woo. Down to Mississippi, down to New Orleans. Yeah, yeah. Where the honeysuckle hanging on a honeysuckle bar. Where love is blooming there all the time.
Every Southern belle is a Mississippi queen. Down to Mississippi, down to New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
to Vincent Dream. Hanging from a long oak tree down in Mississippi, down in New Orleans.
Hey, let's hit it!